listener production.
The creators of this podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which it is recorded. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are the first storytellers of this land. We pay respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging, as well as any Indigenous people who may be listening today.
Everyone relax, this is Topop. I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Will Anderson. Hello and thank you for watching.
I've had such weird airport encounters.
What's going on?
The last few times.
Tell me.
That okay, so I've been coming back and forth from Sydney a lot the last few weeks. The first time I flew down, I was saving a bit of money. So I didn't park at the airport at Gold Coast. I was like, I'll just park in the streets and I've got time, so I'll just walk. I had a little suitcase with me. I'll just walk to get to the airport. Why you're looking at me funny? Why?
When you say you have a little suitcase, like describe,
you know, like a little overnight case, like it wasn't heavy,
but on a roller, Like you, so you're going to be walking just like down the street,
it's like a ten highway
or something.
Not
with
on a freeway. It's not like that scene from The Castle where I'm leaving the airport and walking on a freeway. No, it's a suburban street.
Okay.
Oh, look, I understand what you're getting at because it. There's a certain kind of image you're projecting when you're walking your suitcase through suburban streets,
yes.
Right? I could just as easily like put the stand down and just carry it.
Yes.
But it's easier for me to just walk it. And look, I have not – I think around Gold Coast Airport it's fairly common because there's a lot of like holiday accommodation around it. So people do often walk their little suitcases from the beach to the airport because it's right there. Well, you're still judging me, I can tell.
I am. And these people you've introduced as well, I'm judging them, these scabs that are rolling over from the beach with their suitcase over to the airport.
So one of these other scabs was this young lady and she was had a similar size suitcase, was just in front of me, waiting at the lights. We crossed to enter the driveway leading up to the airport. She was probably about 30 or 40 metres ahead of me and this group of young Esche-type boys were walking.
Okay, I know we've talked about Esches before on the show, but can you give me a recap on Esche? Because
I feel like I should defer to Amy for Esche. I mean, I could comment. Oh, how about this? I'll give my middle-aged man take on Esche culture, what I learned.
And Amy, then do you know what an Esche is?
Yes.
You can fact check me. Okay, so Esche... it takes elements of both shav culture from the UK, that kind of like, you know, sort of footy hooligan shav culture, with elements of American sort of like hip hop culture as well. So it is a combination of sort of like preppy sports gear. So like polo shirts with like shorts, those man bags, those strappy man bags, a jewelry like gold chains and things like that. But the definition of Esche, so Esche is Pig Latin, which is, Esche means session. And so it is a very male sort of dominated culture. And a lot of it is based around like, you know, just typical youth, you know, drinking and fighting all that kind of stuff.
I mean, I know we've been through this before, but this is, Esche's like, you know, there's a moment where you're just like, no matter how many times someone explains something to you, you're like, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
It's just not sinking in. Because I don't think I've seen Esche's in the wild. Where would I be spotting these Esche's? Are they everywhere?
Everywhere.
And so Esche's are everywhere and I'm just
shopping
not seeing
centers,
them.
Train stations, wherever, what when age, we were younger.
Are they all age groups or are they mostly young boys? Are young
well, that
boys
is an
Esche's?
Interesting...
If I see a young boy, are they most likely an Esche?
I don't know if most likely, but they are definitely a very prominent youth demographic. But they also go into their 20s. Like Esche culture. I don't know that Spanion's an Esche, but he definitely is a hero to a lot of Esches, would you say?
Who is that?
Oh, okay. The Spaniard, the Australian rapper, ex-con, massive YouTube star.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, he's from the western suburbs of Sydney. So it's a subculture, but it's also very much in the mainstream. I imagine there'll be a lot of private school boys who also adopt Esche fashion and language when they're out, you know, on the weekends and stuff like that.
Okay, so yeah, so it's what we've all been doing for generations, which is like
yeah, it's no
white
different.
Middle-class kids pretending
to be tough. Well, it's I think because the...
Are they tough though? Like, is there tough Eshays? Is there like actual tough? Like, are all Eshays tough? Or would there be people that were appropriating Eshay culture who just kind of wear the fashion and like the lifestyle, but they're not tough? And then there is like an end of them that is tough.
I don't think that... I mean, yes, I'm sure there are people, but I'd say if you are adopting an Eshay lifestyle, then you would at least want to be able to back it up at some point because you may be confronted by another Eshay.
Do Eshays
looking to eat Fay?
Do Eshays have a drink or anything, like a certain food they eat? Is there anything else about the Eshay lifestyle?
I think
that
I did
like
a whole episode of this with James Clement. If you want to go back to listen to Tofot with Friends.
I understand. I've listened to that. Okay. I've listened to you talk about this, but I'm just trying to explore it a little bit more to work because I mean is. Do you believe that is this the predominant youth culture? Like, because I hear the word bandied about, but I can't identify an Eshay.
Yes, I think so. Like, even on the way to the studio today, I was in a cafe and there was a video on the morning show about like Teenage Fight Club revealed in disturbing videos. And it was a bunch of Eshays like punching on with each other.
I don't like the word. I think that's what it is. Every time you say Eshay, I'm like, I don't like it. I don't like what the word is. I don't like the feel of it in your mouth. Like
Eshay. Session. It's a session, Eshay.
I know, I understand. You explain to me where it comes from.
When I was a kid, which is about 700 years ago, like the big thing in my school was over-the-top sarcasm was how we talked to one another. So,
like Chandler?
Like if you came in wearing a... No, not like that. It was worse. So like, if you came to meet, me at the train station and you were wearing a T-shirt that was really ugly or stupid, I'd be like, oh, Will, that's a good T-shirt. Good T-shirt. Will, where's a good T-shirt? Like it was this kind of weird alternate language we had where it's like, oh, that's good. Funny joke, Will. Good joke. Like just this weird kind of voice. And it was all sarcasm like that. It was this weird kind of language
what
we used.
What is happening?
I don't know. But that is what I believe Eshays are doing now is it's like everything's bra, you know. Amy, can you help me out here? I feel like I'm drowning.
What's the language of the Eshays? So there are signature words, like bra's one of them.
Yeah, like bra, bro.
Yeah.
Adlai. Eshay Adlai.
What? Adlai. Yeah, what is Adlai? That?
Lad.
Lads.
Lad.
Yeah, you're an Eshay Adlai.
You're an Eshay Adlai.
Pig Latin, Adlai.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Seriously.
I mean,
the thing is,
uncool. You may be about to get mugged, but you'll have no idea. Because you're like, what? I have no idea what you're threatening me?
What are you gibbering on about?
Yeah. We're going to ache bray your O's
name. Yeah.
You start doing the Swedish chef back to them.
throwing carrots.
But I think the main defining characteristic is it's very male dominated. It's very masculine energy, you know.
Despite the fact that they're talking about bras constantly, it's mostly men.
Fashion, and they're wearing like Fred Perry polos and.
Who's Fred Perry? Is he the DJ who does the pop ups?
No, Fred Perry. Fred Perry is a designer whose clothes have been adopted not only by Eshays but also Proud Boys. Like, can you imagine that you spend your entire life working on a brand? So he used to make this black and yellow polo. So it's a black polo with a yellow sort of trim collar with a little Fred Perry logo, which is like a laurel. And that got adopted by the Proud Boys without, you know, any consultation with Fred Perry. Can you imagine?
So Fred's not a Proud Boy himself.
No, they just decided, hey, we really like your shirts to hide our white nationalism.
I mean, imagine that if like those people who protest against Dan Andrews still in Melbourne every weekend started wearing Tofop T-shirts. They're just down there in Everyone Relax merchandise.
Well, I think like the swastika originally, like if you travel through India, you'll see swastikas because I think originally it's a Hindu symbol. It's like, no one's ever going to use that ever again.
Yeah. Some people still roll that out. Oh, it's a symbol of peace but not anymore.
Yeah. It was like, I saw you posted a video with Broden. You're on the footy with Broden Kelly a few weeks ago. And it was the brief window of time in which you had a mustache.
One day.
But your mustache is quite light on the ends near the corner of your mouth and then gets darker towards the middle. And I'm like, in certain light, Will's rocking a bit of a Hitler mustache there.
It's part of the reason I've never been able to do it. The other part is when it gets to the corners of my mouth, it just fucks off. Like there's not enough to keep going in a way that like, you know. And so literally that day, they caught me in the window between me having like a fuller beard and me thinking, oh, you know, it's summer.
Yeah.
Maybe I might like have a few days with a mustache, did that podcast, and it was gone by the end of the day.
Yeah, get rid of it. Like sometimes you just need to see it back,
seeing it on
right?
the screen, I was like, yeah, this is not for me.
So the Eshays. So I see them. They're about like 30 metres ahead of me, and this girl's walking past. And they do the classic thing that guys do. Hey, you know, what are you doing and where are you going? Blah, 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 blah. And she just puts her head down and keeps walking. But then I'm the next cab off the rank walking towards them. And I'm like, oh, man. Mm. So I'm walking towards them. And they've been at the hotel, had a couple of drinks. I don't know where they're heading. Probably, I imagine, like pokies or something after that. And they're boisterous. And one guy in particular like eyeballs me. He's like, where are you going? And I was like, I can either...
Do you think they are genuinely concerned about where people are going? Are they curious about where people are going?
Well, we're going to get to that.
Okay, great.
Because you've got two choices in that situation, right? You either just don't engage.
Yep.
But I always feel that when you don't engage, that is a provocation in itself. Like you're sort of, you're caught between a rock and a hard place, right? Like you either engage and run the risk of like, that's what they wanted and they can jump you. Or you don't engage and you're a rude cunt and so they're going to jump you.
Yeah.
So I just said, I'm flying to Sydney. And the guy looks at me and goes, Sydney, it's beautiful. Have a great flight. And I'm like, and I was so kind of taken aback. I'm like, thank you. I hope I do.
Yeah.
And then I walked on a bit longer and then I turned back and I said, and that was very kind of you to say.
No, they're going to bash you.
And then in my head, I'm like, why did I,
why did I
got away with
it? It was all fine. Why did you have to ruin this by going, and you're a very polite young man. You should tell your parents they've raised a nice Eshay.
Yeah. Can I just, guys, just stop. Hold up for a second. Let's just take a note. Let me tell you about what it is to be a polite young man.
Yeah.
And so
that. 2,000 years ago, there was another polite young man.
I just grab a chair, turn it around backwards. So I say, you know, that's very nice of you to say. And then I walk on and in my head, I'm like, what the fuck did you just do? Yeah. And then I heard, hey! And I turn around and the guys look at me and they've all stopped and they're all looking at me. And I'm like, oh. And the guy goes, mate, you are. And I'm like, uh-oh, a fucking legend. And then they just kept going. I know, it's like that was one of the most aggressive compliments I've ever been given in my life.
But maybe that's the trick. You just need to engage with the level of enthusiasm because they really just need, they're young men, they need to get their energy out in some way, right? So you just need to engage on the level of energy, but you don't have to accept that that needs to have negative connotations. You can have I believe you're very good to your mother. You know, like as long as you're doing
on
it
the same
that energy level, that's all they really need to be matched
at. Well, I always find in those situations too, because like, you know, it's ridiculous too that I am a grown man and a group of young boys like are intimidating, you know. But
what
I guess.
What are you talking about? I'm scared of young boys.
Right.
Like I'm at the age now where, because I'm old, I can't get away from anybody. And like I'm fragile. Like I can be beaten to death.
A group of these eshays
I'm not aware of. Like, I was at the public toilets the other day and there was a group of young men who I don't think were eshays. They were more sort of your young sort of...
Bogans?
Yeah, bogans, I think more...
Well, I think there is a bit of crossover with bogan and eshay because you can be a bogan, but it's really about what you wear.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a bogan and you're in shitty bogan clothes and you're a bogan, but if you're a bogan and you're wearing some nice sort of coordinated sports... luxury wear, you know, your kind of polo shirt with your expensive, you know, chino shorts or whatever.
You can be like a bogan eshay crossover.
Yes.
There can be like
you see eshays with mullets and things like that. And also the way they talk, there's a lot of like...
Okay, so there's some crossover between eshay culture and bogan culture.
Yeah, and I think there's even eshay influences. I mean, there's definitely eshay influences now. So it's sort of going mainstream a little bit. Like... I mean, who would you say, like in the, we have to go, I mean, every episode we're going back to the 90s, aren't we? Like, we just can't help it. We've done our research, Gen X, it hits big when we get nostalgic. But like, you know, the Manchester scene, right? Like that's kind of, that became hugely popular with bands like Oasis and stuff and the Happy Mondays. And so that became like, you had rich people pretending to be working class and stuff, and that and the way they were dressed with the hats and all that, and the tracksuit tops and all that kind of stuff. So it feels like it's a version of that. It's both legitimate in its origin, but it is also been co-opted by people who just think it's kind of a cool movement.
Yeah, well, when I was at the toilet, these guys were more, I think, bogans. Just like your average old school. I don't think they had any, like, not even a hint of Esche. Like, you know, you would... No, this is pure bogan.
A sous-sant.
Yeah, like not even a little waft of Esche. This was like old school, young, like just...
Do you get nostalgic when you see old school bogans? Because it's...
Well, I got scared. Oh. I really realised in that moment, I was like, these kids could absolutely rob me right now. Right. They could like hold me down and steal my backpack and take my stuff.
But what, like, okay, but if they're young men, what do you have on you? That a young man, like, everyone has a mobile phone.
Like, you know, headphones, phone.
But everyone has
my
that
notebook
shit these
of excellent
days.
Comedy ideas.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Chris Franklin Mark II is up on stage just murdering it. He's got some real deep thoughts about AI. But I was thinking, because I on that same flight, I actually, I lost my digital notepad, sketchpad. Oh, yes. I left it on the plane.
Oh.
And I was devastated.
Yes.
But I managed to get it back, like it got handed in. And then I was thinking about, what am I worried about? Because most people have, like in the old days, like, yeah, you could maybe hock a mobile phone and get some money for it. But these days they're so common. Like, I don't know if you even went to a cash converter, you'd necessarily see that many mobile phones for sale anymore. Like, what is the value of something like $200 pair of headphones or an iPad or whatever? Like, is that something that you're going to hang on to? You might hang on to it for personal use if you think it's kind of cool, but it's not like a profit motive.
Most of the things that I carry in my backpack are for personal use. So, like, I think they would enjoy anything that they found in my backpack,
okay.
Including a good book that I'm reading at the moment. But also, I do think that you're right in what you're saying, that there is, like, a level of ubiquity across, like, you know, everyone has a phone.
Mm.
But I do think that there's a lot of personal information and stuff that's on phones. So I know that people still steal phones and like, you know, there's the bag robberies and all these sort of things. And part of it is about the information that's on your phone, the access of, like, you know, you might have, if they can unlock your phone, they can then, you know, go and buy
credit card details,
you know, buy a whole bunch of things under $50 or whatever.
But you can, like, it's so easy to sort of kill your phone. Like, as soon as you know it's lost, I mean, you freeze your accounts. You know what I mean? Like, the
you still have to do all those things. Like, I mean, yes, I think you don't have as long. You can't be a lazy thief who's like, I'll steal a phone and I'll get to committing the fraud, you know, on Thursday. You've got to like plan out your whole day. I'm going to rob in the morning and then I'm going to commit the fraud before they shut everything down.
I guess it's more that, like, if you, maybe it's opportunistic, but I sort of feel like that kind of robbery's all gone online. Like, even today I said to you, I received two scam text messages this morning, always about, you know, you got to get in touch with Australia Post with two T's because they can't deliver a package to you. And I just got another one saying that there's been unusually high activity on my Apple ID. Can you please email us at Apple with three P's?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is online.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean there's not room for some good old-fashioned artisanal crime, like some, you know.
Have you ever found something that you were unable to return for whatever reason? Like, it was... that you kept? Like, what's the best thing that you've ever found and kept because there was no chance of returning it to its owner? Like, I found a pair of Ray-Bans at the beach.
Bag. Wrapped on their face
while they're asleep.
In somebody.
No, I did sort of feel like there was some kind of cosmic equalization going on because I've lost so many pairs of sunglasses over my lifetime that I'm sure other people have adopted. And I found a pair of, well, actually Gemma found them buried in the sand on Tallows Beach. It's a 5 kilometer stretch of beach. There's no one else around. It was half buried in sand and water. So there's no way of knowing whose they were or even couldn't take it anywhere to return it. There was no lifeguard or anything around. So I kept those sunglasses and I love them. They're actually my favorite pair of sunglasses. And I don't really feel any guilt about the fact that they may have been someone else's favorite pair of sunglasses because I feel like there is a cosmic balance going on there. Have you ever had something like that happen?
No.
Right.
No, I don't think so. I can't remember ever.
Do you pick up sunglasses that you find?
No.
You just leave them.
Uh-huh.
In every circumstance, even if they're a really cool pair of sunglasses.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because part of you feels like...
That person will come back. They'll be like, oh, where did I last have my sunglasses? I was down at the beach.
I just got the feeling with these sunglasses.
Yeah, that you wanted them. You got the feeling that you wanted them and they suited you. And
there was probably someone on a boat. They were probably having some debauched party on a yacht.
Yeah.
And he fell off the yacht. And this is a guy who doesn't pay his taxes.
Okay, so it's now a terrible person.
It's a terrible person.
Rupert Murdoch owned these sunglasses. Yeah, exactly. I saw a picture of Rupert Murdoch and he was hacking a phone at the time while he was wearing these sunglasses.
Well, when I used to work at the city, and we had a lost property, the rule was, I think it was like a 2 month, like we'd hold the objects for 2 months and then the staff got to kind of divvy up, you know, who got what. You could put dibs on, I want this. There's always mobile phones being left behind, and that was back in the day where, you know, you could just open a phone and swap a SIM card and it wasn't a big deal. But I don't remember ever taking anything like super valuable from that. It might have been, I can't even think there was... No, there's nothing valuable I took from that. These sunglasses, I think, are the best thing I've ever found, and I have no guilt about that.
No, I think that, like, in a few times in my life where I've found valuable things, I've handed them into someone nearby or to the police.
I've done
or,
that
like,
in
I've
the
been
past
a
as well.
Good citizen. I haven't just taken them and decided that they're mine now.
Yeah, maybe I should have gone onto, like, the Byron Bay Facebook page. And said, hey, I found a pair of glasses here.
Hey, we should have posted a picture of yourself. Nude. Going, apart from the glasses.
Yeah. That is it, though. On the Byron Bay Facebook page, I don't know. I feel like it's a phishing scam.
Right.
Because every, like, week or so is a photo of a beautiful
girl. A hot person is
saying,
looking for accommodation.
Hi, yeah, my name's Inga.
What, do you reckon that's a scam? What do you think?
Well,
or do you think there's just... Like every week there's some hot foreign person who needs some accommodation in Byron Bay.
But do you think it is a scam?
Yes.
I mean, there are a lot of hot people in Byron Bay.
I know, but this is why the scam works. This is what you were saying before about these scams that, like, this is your version of Apple with three P's. You're like, oh, idiots, who'd ever fall for Apple with three P's? You're like, oh, but Olga's coming to stay.
I'm not...
I've been sending Olga some money to get her a visa to come and be our OP.
I mean, the funny thing about the Byron Book Facebook page is that, you know, it, like, within, someone could post the most innocent inquiry. It's like, hello, you know, me and my boyfriend are traveling from Germany. You know, we're looking for accommodation. Our budget is this. We're hard workers, non-smokers, blah, 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 blah. And then there'll be 300 comments of, fuck you. Like, we can't even afford to live here. How dare you think you can come here and work hard and get a room? Fuck you. We hate you. You know, like, it's so toxic.
From the place that is
like, hey,
peace
just
and
relax.
Love.
Yeah. What's that sign when you're driving a bar and bass? Isn't it like, breathe in, relax, or in bar?
Chill out.
Yeah.
Turn off, tune out, chill out or
but
whatever.
Don't think you can pay for accommodation
but also,
here.
Fuck
off. Yeah, it's so funny. But then it changed where everyone started, like, it's always a really attractive young woman.
Yes.
She's either doing a yoga pose
the
or
most
she's
attractive
in a bikini.
Foreign woman you've ever seen in your entire life, and she just loves poetry and an alternative
lifestyle. I'm a non-smoker.
She's looking to come and maybe need some accommodation.
I do babysitting. I'm a qualified nanny. But so what is this?
I, the hottest person on earth, can't find anywhere to stay. Well, that seems likely.
So what's the scam, though? Because at some point they're going to turn up and they're not going to look like that.
The scam will be done before that.
Like, so the scam is?
I don't know what the scam is, but it's probably like a details of banks or I'll transfer the bond for, you know, here's your bank details. Oh, it went through. Can you send back a blah, blah, blah? I mean, you know, the way scams work.
I don't know. It just seems
I think it's more likely that once per week, the hottest person in the world
is looking for accommodation.
Is looking for accommodation in Byron Bay.
And they can't look up just regular rental listings.
Right. They can't get a house together of the 20 hottest people in the world.
But is it just Byron Bay? Is this happening all over? Like, if you go onto, like, any kind of community Facebook page, like Marrickville, you know, community Facebook page, are there hot people? Hey, I'm looking for an apartment in Marrickville.
Well, it's got to be believable, right? Like, there's something that happens, I think, with scams where there must be some. Often I find that if you actually are expecting something in the post or you have ordered something from Amazon or whatever, you get more scams that are related to that. It might be a coincidence, but it feels like sometimes if, you know, that's why people get tricked. Is there some way of them knowing, you know, that you might have something in the, you know, that you might actually click on the thing? Or maybe it's just a coincidence. But I think it would be similar in this where you believe in Byron Bay that there are a lot of attractive foreign tourists going there. So it's believable there. But if you went to the Sale Mafra Facebook page. Like, oh, by the way, it's Olga here, and I'm looking for somewhere to stay.
Red flags left, right, and center. I guess you're right, because it is sort of playing into that myth, or that, yeah, the myth built around Byron Bay. They're sort of like, yeah, you know, it's free love, hippie, blah, 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 blah. I would like to know, though, what the scam is, because it's without...
Well, there's only one way to know.
Without fail, the comments fill with lonely men.
Yes.
Oh, I've got a granny flat. You know, I got this, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's never like some girl saying, hey, I'm looking for a housemate. It's normally some lonely dude.
Yeah.
I live on acreage in Myokum.
Yeah.
Come stay with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that doesn't feel like a very likely thing.
So
that
what
a
you're saying
beautiful
is,
beautiful young person you would just, do. Hi, I'd like to be murdered. I'd like to travel to Australia to be murdered, please. Here's my advertisement about being murdered. Who would like to murder me?
All right, so you're the scammer. I'm the mark. Okay, so talk me through your step by step. So you want money? That's the goal, is to get some money from me.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you post the photo of you in your bikini.
Yeah.
And I comment underneath saying, hey, yeah, I've got a granny flat. You can have it for $300 a week. DM me. All right. What do you do in the DM?
So I DM you, and I say, like, I ask like pretty normal questions that you would ask in the situation, like, you know, just general sort of, you know,
questions the area, how far to town.
Yeah. Like just general, like, assure you that I am like a real person, chit chat, like the sort of things that people would ask.
Yep.
And then we talk about like a bond or something like that. You know, do I need to pay a bond? And then I would arrange, the way that these scams mostly work, I believe, is they look like they've paid you something and then or overpaid you. So
they need your bank
example,
details.
So I need the bank details in return, or can you, here's the receipt that it's showing that I've sent you $3,000. It was meant to be $2,000. I mistranslated on the currency exchange. It just needs you to send back the other, and then it'll free up the, you know, whatever that might be.
Okay.
And desperate horny you on your 300, just your 300 acreage.
Just like every fiber of my being farm is holding back from send nudes, send nudes, send nudes. I'm just trying not to hit those five
You're
letters.
Willing to risk a grand.
Nine letters. The hope they're going to ruin everything. August. Send nudes.
Yeah, nuts. It's a nuts. It's a nuts
one. Okay. Yeah. All right. So that makes sense. Yeah. So you're, but what if, how long do you, like, as the scammer, just say I am naive, like I don't cotton on straight away, but I'm also stubborn. So you say, oh, look, I accidentally transferred 3,000 instead of 2,000, you know, I need your bank details or whatever. And I say, no, I'll give it to you in cash when you arrive, or blah, blah, blah. What's your next step?
Well, I'm not coming because I'm not real.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying there. But what do you do? Because.
Well, they always have like a backup.
Do you give up straight away?
No. Of course, it's more about.
I'm on the hook.
This is why you've spent all that time painting the picture of like what I really like to do is just do yoga in the backyard in my bikini, you know. I'm just looking for that Byron Bay lifestyle, you know, like to explore a little, come over, maybe go to some festivals. I don't know if you're into that sort of thing, but like, you know, I've just come out of a long-term relationship and I'm just looking to find myself while I'm over. You know, do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Like, just, I'm getting a lot of like subtext. I don't believe in monogamy.
I'm just, some people say I'm too flexible. Yeah. Would that be a problem?
So you just keep it going until you get some kind of...
Well, they're always playing on whatever the... My guess is that if you're selling someone a bereavement scam, that you're playing on their sense of like, you know, remorse or loss or, you know, bereavement or whatever that might entail. If it's a romance scam or like this sort of thing, which I think is kind of romance scam adjacent, because I think that what they're clearly targeting is... Like you said,
lonely.
Like it's all those lonely men in the comments, right?
Mm.
And if you're fishing at 300 of those, right, if you say there's 300 lonely men in the comments and they've got a little, you know, scam farm, right, they might be playing 100 different scams out. They might not all be the same playbook, right? Because somebody else has got a different sort of angle. You're going to have to play the different angle for the different scam. But you'd have like a set of here are our key kind of like points.
And so I guess when
AI, and then there's always tie-ups, right? Then there's always I'm on my way. I'm at the airport and my credit card doesn't work at the airport. Hey, can you just transfer through for the Uber? Like they'll get you right up until the point that you don't arrive.
Right. Okay.
Where are you, Olga? Yeah. Olga never came.
And then I guess
that $70 you sent through to Olga's Uber account was just the last bit of the scam.
And so when deepfakes become indistinguishable from reality, you'll be having a phone call.
You mean right now? Yeah. You mean now in the time in which we live? Yeah.
Okay. So I've just brought up the Byron Bay Community Board. I'm going to see if I can find one. I'll read one to you. Okay, so this is the first thing that's come up, and this is a guy one actually. Robbie. Okay. Hi, I'm Robbie. I'm new here, like so many. I'm recently single. I'd like to meet a nice girl to take on a cute date, some food. The Sundown Adventure, I'm open. Would love to meet you when you're ready. If that sounds like your vibe, say hi anytime. Meet you soon. And there's a photo of handsome.
Robbie could be real.
Really?
I mean, I don't know. Robbie would be a maybe if I was putting together a maybe list. Because that one doesn't feel, that one feels a little bit more upfront.
Okay, well, the comments here are like,
who's Robbie? Lukewarm. Never met you.
Well, Jacob says, do you swing both ways? I'm asking for a friend.
All right.
Cherie says, translation, you just need a place to stay. Okay. So she's, all right, let's see if we can find another one. Is this guy, all right, there's a lot, okay. Okay, here we go. Melissa. There you go. There's Melissa.
This Melissa looks a little bit more like
scammy.
Your traditional scammy.
I mean, imagine
photos.
If those people are real.
I mean, they might be.
Just putting it out there and fully trusting this post will reach the right people. I'm from the UK. My home is my sanctuary. I love life. I love connection. I'm looking for a studio around Byron between blah, 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 blah. I'd love to move in the next 4 weeks. I'd love somewhere close to the center of town, but on a quiet street. I hold women's circles every week on Main Beach too. So that could be legitimate. And there's another one.
Could be.
I mean, like it's just full of them. So all these people are.
Well, this is the whole point, right, though, is that there are legitimate ones. It's like the Facebook Marketplace, right? The reason that the scams work on Facebook Marketplace is, like, if it were only scams, then that becomes a problem, right? Like if it's Twitter and everything's a scam, but if the reason that scams work is that they've got to be amongst things that the reason that an Oz Post or delivery scam works is that you do get things posted and delivered.
I mean, it's ridiculous. This is okay. Hello, my name is Ellen. I'm 24 years old. I come from Sweden. I'm currently looking for au pair work around Byron Bay. Yep. Bah, 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 bah. She's also very attractive. Like, could it not just be a bunch of attractive people looking for work and accommodation?
I mean, it could be, I guess.
Hi, my name's Chella. I'm looking for accommodation in Byron Bay. I'm also incredibly attractive.
I mean, it's hard to tell. I have walked the streets of Byron Bay and there are a lot of attractive people there. And sometimes I do think.
But it's more female, which makes me think it's the scam because men are more likely to fall for this.
Right. But also, the other thing that I would honestly say about it is, why are these young women on Facebook? They're not, right? Surely they're on like TikTok or Instagram or something else, right?
Well, no, I think Facebook is still like the number one.
For these sort of groups.
But yeah, like community groups and stuff. I don't think
there's not like
a
new
TikTok Byron Bay
version of that for young
people.
I
mean, people. There probably is. What, we don't know. Amy!
I definitely think Facebook is still one of the things
it's the bulletin board for
you know.
That's kind of what it is now, isn't it? It's the where you sell your old shit and it's the bulletin board.
Yeah
Okay, so that does make sense. So they might go there. Amy, what's your take on these things? Do you think that they would be scams or do you think they would be real people?
I think you're onto it, Will, in that I think there's a number of people in there that would be real people, but then I think that then there is a percentage in there that would just take advantage of that and take advantage of those posts and then post fake things to do like the phishing scams.
Yes.
I mean, it is disproportionately high females and generally very attractive and often just wearing bikinis.
But it's a fake group, right?
And also the other thing is that everything is a scam. Like that's the thing that we've got to remember. When you go online, everything is a scam now. Like even on like good apps, like you notice that people will post, like if you post sold out on a show thing now, there are algorithms that immediately go like start like putting messages under your posts about, oh, I've got four tickets and blah, 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 and I'm selling tickets and I can't come tonight. And they all, like if you don't know, like they're clever enough now that they sound more like actual people who might be selling their tickets.
Yeah.
And so I just feel like there's just not a whole bunch of like hot foreign young women who are looking for places to stay.
Is the group one where you have to like, do they have like admins where you have to answer questions to get in?
Yeah, I think for this one, I think there's actually
because if there's like a barrier to getting in, then that would probably stop a lot of
I think that community forum, you don't, I don't know. There might be, you might have to sort of like, yeah, it might have to be a resident. Like, you might have to have a, like, Northern Rivers postcode, but I can't remember.
Well, these people aren't residents. These people are like, from all Sweden and, you know, wherever.
But I think there might be Liverpool. Two levels of, there's two tiers. And it's actually, I mean, if I'm ever bored, I like to just jump on the forum and just read the arguments because people...
What are people arguing about on the Byron Bay forums?
It's almost the most innocuous kind of post or
don't
comment.
They don't like inoculations, you're right.
Just anything. It's like, I noticed there was a helicopter flying over the lighthouse. What's going on
chemtrails
here?
It's like, it's the government spying on us.
Legitimately. That. I mean, the anti-vax arguments rage constantly. Like, as soon as someone has a syringe and a skull like added to their to their header, you're like, oh boy, here we go. But it's just, it's more the, I mean, I guess it's more indicative of Facebook in general, is that you get, it's a toxic forum for people to just come in and say the most horrendous things. Like the referendum sort of really brought that to light, right? Like I thought, maybe Facebook's different because people don't have to, you can't be in, I mean, some people put their real names, some people do go anonymous, but people were putting their names to some really horrendous shit throughout that period. And I think Facebook, for me, I hardly ever really go on it. And when I do, it's always arguments. Like that seems to, I mean, I know that's
Facebook,
what drives engagement.
It's for arguments.
Yeah.
But it is the place for arguments.
People will write something about the Oscars. Oh, you know, it's such a shame that Margot Robbie wasn't nominated for an Oscar. And then it's like, it's just this creed against how feminism is cancer. And it's just like, well, I don't understand. Like, why did we go from 0 to 100 so quickly? But the people who seem to have invested heavily in Facebook, like I think there is a kind of, there's a demographic split and there's also a personality split about what social media you're attracted to. And I think the people who really hang on to Facebook are people argumentative. You can do longer posts. Like it seems to be, I find it exhausting. I don't really.
Do you like to argue?
Online?
At all?
Oh, I like to argue, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I like to be a contrarian.
About what do you like to argue about? Like, what's your favourite thing to be arguing about? Like, if you're in a good argument, in an exciting argument, what are you arguing about?
That's a good question. I don't know what the subject is. I don't know if it's more what the subject is, but I...
What's the context?
Okay, all right. My big bugbear, like, is pretension. I like pretentiousness.
Oh, yeah.
If I sense someone is being pretentious in their presentation or in something that they've made or whatever, or in their delivery or something, then that's when I get passionate because I find that they're, for some reason, it personally offends me when I feel like I'm being patronized.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Or when I feel like someone is presenting something that is bullshit, especially within art. Like Gemma and I, when we have disagreements,
yes.
You know, because Gemma is an artist and
she loves pretentious shit.
Well, she just loves, she loves art and artistry and self-expression.
Yeah.
And I feel like that my brain works differently. I'm much more like a words guy, I'm more literal. Mm. And like we can walk around an art gallery, like we're at the NGV a few weeks ago. And sometimes I just feel like the dumbest person on the face of the earth because I understand that art is meant to provoke a response.
Yeah.
But sometimes...
Your response is...
like, there's no response. I'm like, I just...
Yeah.
I'm feeling nothing. I don't feel angered by this. I don't feel inspired by this. I just feel nothing. And that's not what I get.
You've got to say those things, though, just with more profundity, right? So if you're in front of something and you just look at it and you go, I feel nothing.
Like oh, that's, see, that's a... But that's pretentious and I hate that. Hang on, sorry. I just got a text from Jen.
She said, I heard you that you're talking about me. You said that I like pretentious things.
I'll just say whatever you think's best, darling. that is the secret to a long marriage. I think that's when we get, like, I've told that story before about meeting that musician in Byron Bay, funnily enough. The one who is like, you know, hey, man, and I just like, you're a wanker and I don't believe anything that you stand for. It could be a bit of projection. Uh-huh. It makes me feel insecure. When I meet someone who is so sure of their own sense of self and their view of the world, I'm always like,
what are you?
How can anyone be certain about anything?
You can't be.
I feel uncertain about everything.
Well, because that's the only rational response to the universe in which we live.
No, but you're quite like, you think deeply about things.
Yeah, but I'm not certain about anything.
No, well, you're certain about how you feel about things. I admire that in you. I think that's one of your best qualities is that I'll ask you a question that might be even like a flippant subject matter, but you've always, you'll think deeply about something and you don't have an immediate knee-jerk reaction. Or even if you do have a knee-jerk reaction, you'll temper that until you've had time to think about it some more. Whereas I meet people who like, they will have a, you know, deeply held conviction on something, but I'm like, I don't feel like that is backed by deep thought. I feel like that is just you've made a decision and now you're holding on to that without any real justification.
I understand what you're saying. It's less about the curiosity and it's more about adopting a position. And just defending that position regardless of any information that comes in your direction. Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I mean, because that is ridiculous. It's, I mean, your curiosity should be towards the truth or the destination or whatever it might be, you know, in like it doesn't always have to be capital T truth. But the idea that somebody just adopts a position and says, I'm going to say this is true regardless of whatever evidence comes my way. I find that fascinating in people where you might have come to the conclusion rationally in the first place. But since you believed that thing, other information has now come to light that...
Well, COVID is a perfect example of that. And there's people who like want to do victory laps on, you know, they'll find out, well, the efficacy of this vaccine is maybe not what we thought, blah, blah, blah. And they'll be like, you fucking idiots who took the vaccine. Like, and it's like, well, no, this stuff happened real quick. And it's like a constantly evolving pandemic and there's new strains all the time. And, you know, data comes in and gets analyzed and then we change our position based on that. And that's how science works. But people don't want that. You know,
people don't want science. No, people don't like the scientific method.
Everything's partisan.
Yeah.
Pick a side and you just better hope that your
side
is infallible.
And you better be right or wrong.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Forever.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter if things change. Like, don't you feel fucking stupid that
But what I love is that it doesn't work both ways. I mean, I love that idea of just being able to completely block out when you are doing the exact same thing as your opposition are doing. And I'm sure we all do it, right? Yeah. I'm sure I do it as well. But the one where they're like, oh, you know, the vaccines didn't work as well as you said, they're going to say, hang on, you said that everyone who was going to take the vaccine was going to be dead in like a week.
But I think it speaks to just how like discourse is delivered now, which is, maybe it's the way we've been conditioned by 24-hour news cycles and, you know, the way we've split along sort of like partisan lines that you just have to adopt a position and just hope that your position has the least amount of flaws in it for the longest period of time rather than going, you know what, actually maybe I was wrong about that. And even like people who adopt centrist ideals, they're not really... You know, I want to be rational about this one. No, because we're all sort of swayed by different biases and stuff like that. But no one wants to admit that. No one wants to admit that, we have certain biases and certain things that we're just not going to read into. Or it's hard to read, like, the history of a conflict. Or it's hard to understand every aspect of a new disease or whatever. So I'm just going to listen to people I trust. And whatever opinion they have, I'm going to adopt that. And then I'm just going to hope that person doesn't get cancelled for some reason.
All right. So let's just finish the podcast by sorting out Gaza then.
Oh, yeah. I think like people the Rock and Joe Rogan. Yeah,
I think the people have been waiting to see what we think about this. It is, I know what you mean. Sometimes there is that part of me that thinks, I can't help you here. If this can be fixed by me, then we're in real trouble.
Yeah.
If you need to know what I think about this issue, I don't know what I think about this issue. I struggle through on my everyday trying to make decisions that are about me and my life and my everyday. And I get so many of them wrong. You think I can sort out, I have a level of responsibilities in my life in which I try to make the best decisions I can possibly make. But other than that, I often admire people. I think, where does this confidence come from?
Yeah.
That you think you can weigh in on this issue that has been discussed by millions of people across the world for years.
And experts.
But you'll nut it out. I got this.
Well, I think there's two levels, right? Mm. There is a base surface reading of an event that you can have reactions to that depending on, you know, where your moral line sits or your ethics. And, you know, how you feel about something is entirely legitimate because that you're just responding to the given information.
Yes.
But it's the deeper context and maybe the potential motivations for things or the history of something or the experience of a group of people that you have no idea, cultural differences that you don't understand. That's where I'm like, I cannot comment. I would feel so false to comment on this because it's not a lived experience for me. Like I am so far removed from what is going on. For me to suddenly come out with all this conviction, like I know, that's pretentious, right? Yeah. That is the thing that I hate the most.
Yeah.
I become this. Pretentious.
Yes.
I am pretentiousness.
Okay. You know what? I like it. I feel like I really understand you better than I ever have.
But that's the only argument that I'll get super like passionate
versus
about.
Clawson versus pretension.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I think it's misguided sometimes because I think
misinterpret pretentiousness 100%. Sometimes.
Maybe someone is just shy.
Yeah.
And ultimately they're judging me.
Or you don't understand it. You're like, that's pretentious.
Yeah. Or, you know, it might be on the spectrum or something like that. I'm like, oh, that person hates me. They think they're better than me because they're nonverbal. Like, imagine me as a therapist. Therapist in a children's hospital, that nonverbal kid's judging me.
Well, just in any therapist situation. Yeah. They're like, are you judging me? You're my therapist. Like, why do you keep saying, are you judging me?
Well, I mean, therapy is an interesting context for that, though, isn't it? Because, like, I think there is I think therapists that I have vibed with are the ones who I feel like are real blue collar in their advice or, you know, it's real simple, breaking it down into kind of dumbing it down, I guess, in other words. The therapists that I've had a problem with are the ones who start bringing in, like, I don't know. To me, it feels like the concepts are far too
pretentious.
Yeah.
You don't want pretension in your therapy either.
Well, it's also the conviction around, studies have shown that the human behavior does blah, blah, blah. And I'm always like, yeah, but like.
Yeah, how about you study this, Doc?
Study this, right? How does that make you feel? I don't know. It's more this idea that the human beings, like the human behavior, and I understand that, like, you know, they'll do studies and there'll be observation and stuff, but that can't be definitive, can it? Because you're sort of taking a sample size and you're saying, okay, in this situation, you know, human beings have a tendency to move towards this area. Like my brother today was saying to me, because he's a teacher, he said that in studies they've done, boys and girls start off with the same level of self-confidence till about the age of 13. Then their self-confidence decreases almost equally. But boys' self-confidence rebounds fairly fast at a high level, whereas girls' confidence can rebound, but never to the level it was prior to adolescence. And I was like, how do you measure that? I mean, that seems so... Like, you're just going off, like, the responses of the kids or you've been interviewing in the study. Like, can that be definitive? Like, I understand it's been, in, you know, peer-reviewed and I'm not disputing the science of it, but it's just more...
I mean, it sounds like you are. It sounds like you're disputing the science of it.
I'm not disputing it. I guess
because literally what you've just described is a scientific method.
But that can change, right?
Like, yes, because the scientific method is a method.
Right.
It's a method by which we study. So, yes, what you're talking about is an example. This is what they do in all situations. Like, they're never going to be able to test everybody. They test a certain amount of people and they extrapolate data from, you know, and the more you can test, the more accurate the data can be. But it's just a method.
Mm.
And this is, of course, it can change. But is that their understanding at the moment because they've studied this thing? Then I guess it is. Now, can society change in a way that you can change that? You'd hope so, right? Because you think that we are giving, if we have this knowledge, what you then, I guess there's then two approaches, right? Which is them saying, well, I guess women are never going to be confident. Good luck with that. Or them being able to say, well, this is something we identify. What are the factors that are contributing to this not being the case? And now we can put stuff in place that addresses this so that's not the case.
I think the study was around sociological effects of, like, you know, gender norms and things like that. And so what they were trying to say is, because my brother's speaking specifically within an education context.
Yeah.
You know, the argument for single-sex schools is that girls excel in single-sex schools.
Yeah, boys are better with girls around, but girls are better off by themselves. Boys are the problem, I believe.
Yeah, the island of Themyscira has some real good points to it in the end. But I think the idea being that, yes, how do we then engineer a society that allows girls to rediscover their confidence in areas beyond just in an educational context? Which, I mean, I even see it with Iona. Like, it's interesting. You know, we never, with toys or clothes, bought her, like, traditionally gendered, you know, but she has naturally been drawn to that. Like, she's all about, like, girly things, dresses and playing with dolls and stuff. And I'm like, is this coming from, like, is it the entertainment she watches? Like, you know, Disney princesses are all very girl bossy and empowered and stuff, but ultimately, you know, they look pretty and they wear dresses and stuff like that. And even in the interaction she has at her daycare, she only plays with the girls. And I ask about, like, you know, she has boyfriends. And I ask her about, like, why do you not play with the boys? And she's like, oh, because they're too rough. Like, the boys like to play rough. The one time I think she really tried to play with the boys, they were playing superheroes. And they said she could only play if she was the bad guy. And she felt like she didn't want to be the bad guy.
No.
But then she has, like, I remember her, she hates being called, when I call her cool, because she thinks cool is a male thing, like boys are cool. She wants to be beautiful. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, beauty's, like, it's beauty's only one thing, and it's very superficial, and you'd have no control over beauty, and it's
where
also,
you can be cool forever.
Yeah, where you can be cool forever. But I said, you know, but I said, there's lots of, like, beautiful girls who are also very cool, you know, and there's cool, you can be cool, beautiful, smart, all these kind of things. But I guess for like a toddler or a little kid, they're only looking at what is celebrated in the entertainment they watch. And more often than not, even if it is a very strong feminist message in the cartoon or whatever, you cannot escape the fact that they're attractive, or that, you know, that there is a level of beauty assigned to those images that kids are given. And so it's like, oh man, like, it's not like you want to give them, like, a well-rounded education on all aspects, right? You know, if you, there's nothing wrong with wanting to present yourself well and, you know, feel confident in yourself and be proud of who you are, but you just also want to foster the other stuff as well, like, you know, the resilience and the curiosity and the intelligence and all that kind of stuff. But it's just, how do you do that?
I just don't feel like the curiosity and the intelligence are going to come in handy in the modern society we're creating. Right. I think lean into the beauty. I think filters, fillers, beauty industry, just really
well,
go
you
the
won't
hog.
Need to though, because you the
That's
AI
true,
will.
Actually. It's a good point.
We're all going to be beautiful, Will.
Well, we'll. If, I mean, if AI does, like, have those sort of revolutionary concepts where you can just
put a filter on, suddenly you've, you know.
Then does traditional beauty change again? Do we care? Because, like, now in a world where, like, obviously there's been a lot of debate around weight in the last, you know, sort of decade or so from, like, you know, some people like I know when I was growing up, like weight was that one thing that everyone was allowed to comment on. And like, you know, and now we're much more aware of the fact that like, yeah, we're body positive, and I think that's a good thing. And there's obviously been that imagery, but at the same time, there's been this rise of Ozempic, is that what it's called?
The, I don't know. What
whatever that diabetes drug that all the celebrities are on that of losing all the weight. So basically there's a drug now you can inject to lose weight.
Quickly.
Very quickly lose weight. And it's all the celebrities basically on it.
How does it go?
It's a diabetes drug, but it has the side effect that it...
But do you shit it out? Like,
And yeah, puts you off food and stuff as well. I mean, it can make you sick, of course. Like, you know, but it's been become quite a...
Right.
And there's been some celebrities who publicly talked about using it for huge amounts of weight loss. I think maybe like Jackie O or like Roxy Jacinto or those sort of people. But like, you know, but also like Hollywood celebrities have talked about the success they've had with it as well. And it's like, it's actually been running out for the people who need it.
Genuinely need it.
Yeah, because.
Because the Oscars are coming up.
And so then there's that idea of going, well, if there's some drug you can just take to aid weight loss, then. Like, does weight become just something that, like, doesn't have that cultural cachet anymore? And maybe that's a good thing.
Well, when I was living in the States, the one thing that, like, you know, used to blow my mind because they have this unregulated drug advertising or pharmaceutical advertising. And so, you know, you're watching the Super Bowl or, you know, football, just a regular basketball, football game or whatever, and the ads would alternate between go to Carl's Jr. and get the triple bacon, extra cheese burger with deep fried onion rings covered in icing sugar and chocolate.
We made a pig eat a sheep and then we put it in a burger.
We deep fried it and covered it in fucking truffle oil. And then the next ad is like, you fat fuck. like you need to lose weight. Here's a pill that will make you go blind and give you diarrhea for the rest of your life.
Yeah, well, create the problem and then solve the problem. And then there's an ad for the lawyer who's suing the company that gave you the pill because everyone went blind.
I mean, you just go insane over there and you're just like, oh, yeah, well, I'm really hungry. I want to eat that burger, but I'm a fat, disgusting pig now. And I have to take this drug. And now I'm going to sue the person because I can't stop shitting.
Yeah, and also I think that pig that ate the sheep. I'll sue them as well.
But I guess you're right. Like, that is capitalism, right? Like, we need to
create problems so you can solve problems.
So it's almost like, I believe there was a great philosopher called Vanilla Ice. He said, if there's a problem, I'll solve it.
Uh-huh.
Take this pill. Your bowels will resolve it.
But here's what I would say about Vanilla Ice is that I don't feel like he did solve many problems. Like, he said, he made a lot of promises about... Like, this is a guy who was all hype, right?
Yeah.
He's like, he said, I'm going to...
If there's a problem...
I'll solve it.
Check out my hook where my DJ revolves.
Yeah.
But was that just the problem?
Was he talking about like a song hook, or was he actually like, did he have a hook? Like, did he
do you think
like
you need to specify? If there is a musical problem...
If there's a musical problem, if there's a music industry related problem, I'll solve it.
But it's more the DJ is solving the problem more than Villa Rice. He provides the hook, but the DJ revolves it.
Yeah, it's a good point. If there is a problem,
we'll solve it.
You will solve it. The DJ and I will solve it. We'll collaborate. We will stop collaborating.
Amy, how long have we been doing? I want to get this in mail. I just want to make
like
sure.
We've done like...
We're at 57 minutes. So
57, yeah.
Let's do one. Amy, I wanted to bring this up because I felt bad the last time we got together to record.
What's up?
I feel like I was forcing the A mic.
Yeah, you really were.
Onto you, and I felt like it was
not. I didn't
not,
like it.
Will didn't like it. You were very polite.
Yeah.
I listened back and I was like, it sounds obnoxious.
Yeah, you were trying to make it happen.
I was trying to make it happen.
Trying to make fetch happen.
Yeah, and we got listener feedback on that. I just wanted to read this one email.
It's coming in right now by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. This is Gemma texting me. Gemma's trying to get tickets for Splendor.
Uh-huh. In the grass.
Splendor in the grass. Yeah. And so she's, what days do we want to go? What do you want to go see? I honestly don't even know who's playing. So I've just said, that's why I said, whatever you think, well, darling, that would be best. Yes. So.
There was someone interesting on.
Kylie.
Kylie's Minogue? Headlining. Jenna.
Yeah, I was going to say, name me another Kylie. Yes, Kylie Minogue. Minogue.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is from Tori.
Yeah.
Long time listener, first time caller. What prompted me to write in is I need to point out that it sounds like you keep saying, hey, Mike, when talking to your producer. Like, hey, Mike, can you look that up for me? Yeah. Not sure if it sounds like you're being rude or just ochre. I apologize. I tried something.
You were committing to the bit. You were trying it out.
When it was suggested, I just thought, oh, it's a wonderful solution to our problem. And now, in retrospect, I'm like, that was pretentious.
You were trying too hard to make it happen.
Incredibly pretentious. Yeah. I just made it the definitive point and it didn't work. So A Mike is done.
Okay,
you're just Amy. You're Amy now. We're happy with Amy. Lucky.
Not just
we're with Amy. Not just Amy. You're the Amy.
No.
The Amy, like The Rock.
Oh my God, stop. Just let it naturally happen. We've got time.
Okay. You know what's happening, Will, is you're doing stand-up.
I am, yeah, all over Australia. I've even done some of it now. We've been talking about it hypothetically up until this point, but it's actually happened and I'm enjoying it and it's good. So you can come and see it. It's called Will Legitimate. It is touring all over Australia. So please come comedy.com.au.
And the footy season is back in full swing. We have been doing episodes in the pre-season, but we're now talking about the actual football action. Two Guys, One Cup, available in the Everyone Relax feed along with a TOEFOP with friends and philosophy and some other bonus stuff coming up. I've just finished a new season of The Unexplained Explained. It's all loaded. Amy is editing it right now. Some really great guests. I've managed to garner some guests for this next series of The Unexplained Explained. So that will be coming out in May, I believe. Yeah.
I've got some great TOEFOP with friends in the can as well. Like, I have some comedians who are out for the festivals. And Mary Custis was on Philosophy recently.
She's great.
I highly recommend checking out that episode because if you grew up watching Effie on the TV, but just Mary in general, very fascinating person.
All right. I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Will Anderson.
Listener.